sido muy difícil, muy duro para mí. He sentido que mi corazón me lo partieron en mil pedazos al arrebatar mis hijos de mis brazos.
It feels like they broke my heart into 1,000 pieces. That's Jenny Gonzalez Garcia. She's 29 years old, from Guatemala, and she has 3 children. For weeks, she and her kids were thousands of miles apart. In May, Jenny tried to cross the U.S. border with her kids, who are 11, 9, and 6. But she was apprehended and sent to a detention center in Arizona. And she remembers what a guard told her.
Tú te vas a ir para Guatemala deportada y tus hijos van a quedar en manos del gobierno.
You'll be deported to Guatemala and your children will stay in the hands of the government. Since May, Jenny's children have been held in a foster care agency in New York. The last time they were together as a family was at a processing center in Yuma.
Solo los llamaron y ahí me cerraron, ellos se salieron y a mí me cerraron la puerta de la de ahí donde lo me tenían y yo solo por medio del vidrio vi cuando mis niños pasaron.
They didn't say anything. They just called them and the children came. And then they closed the door and I could see them pass through the window and that was the last time I saw them, says Jenny. Jenny was released from detention last week. She got into a car with a volunteer and they drove 2,500 miles from Eloy, Arizona to East Harlem, New York, where her children are being held. They arrived last night and this morning, Jenny was reunited with her children. This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. Last month, a court ordered the Trump administration to reunite the estimated 2,000-plus children that have been separated from their parents at the border. But that process is unclear and complicated. Beth Fertig is a senior reporter covering immigration for WNYC, and she joins me now in the studio. Welcome, Beth.
Hi.
So the latest we know so far is that Jenny and her children have been reunited. Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, I just called another media organization who's camped out outside the foster care agency in East Harlem, where they arranged for Jenny to visit with her 3 children, and she told me they went in. So she'll be here. She'll be there all day today visiting with the children.
So this is some good news that we're getting out of one of these really difficult stories. Tell us a little bit about Jenny's story herself. She came from Guatemala. Why did she bring her kids across the border? What was she looking to escape in Guatemala?
She told me, and it's a very typical story, as you know, from Central America, where there's a lot of drugs and gangs and violence, that she's from a small town. She has about a 6th grade education. She worked in the fields with her parents. It's an agricultural town. And then she got married and had 3 small children. By the time her husband left, they were still young. And then she began to fear the, even though it was a small town, there were still some of the gangs in her town. And she thought they would recruit her oldest, who is an 11-year-old boy, because gangs have been going after young children. She also said some weird people were trying to break into her house. She didn't know what was going on. But she just knew that this is bad. I got to get out of here. And she took all 3 of them on buses to get to the U.S. border. And that's where she was detained in the middle of May in Yuma, Arizona.
So tell us a little bit about what happened when she was detained and what the process was like for her to be separated from her children.
Well, from what I can piece together from talking to her and government sources, she was initially apprehended, I should say, when she illegally crossed the border. She did not go to a legal, quote-unquote, port of entry and say, I want asylum. She just... From what she told me, she hopped over a fence of some kind with the kids. And then she was just walking and she got apprehended by, you know, Customs and Border Protection agents, I presume. And then she was brought to a processing center, which is typical. That's where immigrants are brought when they're detained like that. They first go to a processing center, which the immigrants call an ice box. It's very uncomfortable. It's very cold, she says. It was so unpleasant. There were lots of families there with children, and her sweater was taken away for some reason. And then that's where we heard her say, I saw my children taken away. She was seeing other children taken away. And so she claims that there was not even any food, actually, in this place for the first two days that she was there, just juice for the children. And she had told them, if anything happens, memorize this phone number of your aunt and uncle in North Carolina. And then the children were taken, and she was never told where they were going. And then for some reason, and it's likely because there was not another spot in detention ready for her, she was brought to another processing center, another one of these ice boxes, the immigrants call them, for a couple of weeks, which is extremely unusual that she would spend so long in a temporary type of processing center.
And this is away from her children, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And she was not told what was happening. She would ask. She wouldn't get any answers. And then she was finally brought to the Eloy Detention Center on June 6th. And that's when she was able to get more information.
Let's talk a little bit about her attorney. What role did the attorney play in all of this?
In New York, I guess we consider ourselves very pushy people in this city.
No.
And so the children were in the Cayuga Center's foster care agency. The federal government has been taking these children, who they call unaccompanied minors, even though they're really not, to centers that are used to taking the so-called legitimate unaccompanied minors, traditionally teenagers who came to the border by themselves. Cayuga in New York is one of the bigger ones. So they take these teenagers if they don't have family to go to, and they place them in foster homes. So all of a sudden, Cayuga was overwhelmed with hundreds of kids who had been separated from their parents, younger than they're usually dealing with. They have these three small children. The three small children, one of them or all of them knew the phone number and gave it to Cayuga, foster care caseworker, who then called the aunt and uncle in North Carolina. And that family was very surprised to hear that these children are in foster care. Apparently, they didn't even know where Jenny was at that point or what was happening exactly. And when they heard it was a foster care agency in New York, they literally Googled immigration lawyer Bronx, because that's where the agency was based, and they found Jose Javier Orochena, who thankfully, because there are some bad actors out there in the immigration sphere, was a legitimate lawyer. And he pushed and pushed and pushed for weeks to try to see the children, because he was by then signed up to be Jenny's attorney. And he wasn't allowed inside, and he was very frustrated. And we interviewed him on WNYC about that a couple of weeks ago.
We actually have a clip from that we can play.
Sure. Have you been able to talk to the mom about how the children are doing in New York? Because you have not yet spoken to the children yourself.
No, I haven't. I've only been able to speak with the aunt who's advocating for them to be released to her in North Carolina.
And from what the aunt has told you, are they doing okay?
They are just told a generic, they're fine, they're fine. They speak to their mother. They're not even part of a system. For example, I called immigration court here in New York, and I asked, when are the children scheduled to go in front of an immigration judge? They told me that their system reflects that the children are still in Arizona. So I think that the only possibility of reuniting Jenny Gonzalez with her three children is that she gets bonded out, comes to New York, and picks up her children and fights her asylum case outside of the custody of Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
And a listener in Long Island City named Julie Schwietert-Colazzo heard the interview with him on WNYC expressing his frustration, and she raised money to bond this woman out of detention because Orochena, because he was a lawyer representing her. Most of these moms don't have lawyers on the outside.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, what ends up happening if you're somebody that can't get a lawyer
or just the majority
have someone raise money because they're feeling generous? Like, what happens to people?
Yeah,
who are
this was kind of like a unicorn in that the family contacted a lawyer who was able to represent her and push, you know, being a pushy New Yorker, kept trying to see the kids, and then made a deal with ICE to bond her out for $7,500. And when these volunteers had raised enough money just in time for that, he flew to Arizona. We went with him. And he got her out of detention on Thursday. And then other volunteers drove her all the way to New York. So this is a very unusual story.
And so for those people who don't have access, we've been hearing about the shortage of attorneys and pro bono folks who are able to help these folks. Where do people go to find their children? For example, if Jenny's kids didn't have the phone number written or memorized, what would have happened to them?
Well, in New York, and I believe in general, there's a process for the foster care agencies taking these kids to have legal screening. In New York, it's Catholic Charities of New York. They told me they have screened all of the children who are in the foster care agencies in New York by now. And they are giving some of them legal representation. Others, they're waiting to connect with the families to hear what they want. And most of the children, they said, just want to go back to their home countries, which is because, you know, a lot of the parents are going to be deported, let's face it. And so then it's going to be a mess of matching the kids with the parents, either before they go back to their home countries or after. But some of the kids may have legit asylum cases that the attorneys will bring on behalf of the moms or fathers, just like Jose Javier Orochena is going to do for Jenny Gonzalez Garcia. He says she does have an asylum case and he wants to represent her. However, she will probably move to North Carolina where those relatives are. And then it will be another lawyer because her case will be transferred to the immigration court there.
You mentioned Cayuga, the center where a lot of these children are here in East Harlem. How are they handling this influx of children that they weren't expecting to have necessarily?
I honestly don't know because they have refused to talk to any media. They won't return any calls. I briefly went in there with the lawyer when he finally got to visit the children last week, and I could see a lot of young people running around. It seemed like they've never handled anything like this before, and they're really under a lot of pressure because they have a contract with the federal government, and they probably feel like we got to be pretty careful here. But as to your question about the lawyers, I can tell you that when women, parents are in detention, they are given a list of legal service organizations, but the very, very few of them can handle the volume like this. And so Jenny, when she was released, got a slip of paper with the names of local legal service organizations in the Phoenix area. Thankfully, she already had her own attorney, but it's doubtful that they could have handled every one of those people who are being, you know, pulled into detention right now. And here in New York, where immigrants have the best chance of representation, according to data. Most of them do have lawyers when they go to immigration court. I'm hearing from the lawyers that they are overwhelmed, partly because the cases have become more complicated now under the Trump administration. And so they're taking longer to do their cases, which makes it harder to represent every person that they would like to represent.
What happens to Jenny and her kids now?
Well, she will visit with them today. She cannot be formally reunited with them in terms of having them in her custody because there's a big bureaucracy right now. The federal government has decided that they want to treat every parent as though they're a sponsor and interview them, background check, fingerprint, all this stuff to make sure they are who they are. So at this point, it's going to be quicker probably to release the children to the aunt and uncle in North Carolina who have already gone through that process, and then they will all have to go there.
Beth Fertig is a senior reporter at WNYC covering immigration. Beth, thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.